Good evening, everyone. I just want to say a special good evening to my dear friend and associate, Max White, who just snuck in the room without anyone knowing. Good to see you. If you want to open your Bibles up, open them up to Mark chapter 8. Just moving this because of glare. Mark chapter 8, and could I just ask if someone get me a glass of water? I've forgotten the water. Can you do that, Brooke? No? Okay. Well, I'd like to say happy birthday, New Start. It's been a roller coaster of 5 years where God has, as Peter said, encouraged us and terrified us all at the same time. So over the last 8 weeks, we've been looking at becoming who we are. We're not just Sunday churchgoers. We shouldn't be Sunday churchgoers. We should be spirit-led, spirit-filled followers of Jesus. And we are holders of the gospel DNA. Who remembers our foundational text, thank you, our foundational text back in April? Who remembers our foundational text? Okay. Matthew 28, it was our foundational text. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Remember, in other words, he said, "It's okay, guys, I've got heaven covered and I've got earth covered. So you just go out there and you just be who I've called you to be." So Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is where we started our journey, and we looked at why we do what we do. And we asked the question, how can we be enabled, how can we be equipped to live the whole of our life, one life, for Jesus? So tonight I want to take the past 8 weeks and roll it up into a ball and bring you some practical vision and practical pathway, practical enabling, practical equipping as we look at the next 5 years together, hopefully, God willing, if Jesus doesn't come back, and become who we are. So we're going to talk a little bit about the established vision of New Start Church and look at what God has called us to do and what has God called us to be. I want to challenge each and every person who calls New Start home on the unique role that God has given each one of you, and he has given each one of you, and how that might play out here and also in the other 117 hours of the week that we function away from this place. So here's what we have to understand. We didn't just come up with this vision randomly or by chance. Oh, I didn't come up with this vision. Lucas didn't come up with this vision. Our vision came about because of 5 years ago, a group of people prayed and petitioned God for this new suburb of Manor Lakes. They asked God, "What do you want us to do? What do you want to do with us? And what do you want us to be in this new suburb of Manor Lakes? What are you calling us to be in this community?" So the vision we have, the vision that I'm calling you to tonight, was not formulated by New Start Church in per se. The vision was given by God to New Start Church. It's God's vision. It's God's vision. And if it's God's vision, he has asked each one of us to be and to do and to function in that vision. So after last week's service, we were all sitting around chatting and eating after the service, and someone asked me and commented that I have done a lot of travelling. And then we talked about where gospel ministry has taken myself and my family. And that conversation sort of stayed with me after last Sunday, and it has inspired some of this message also. But so I mulled over in my mind, you know, how many times have I moved for the ministry? And I had to think, how many times had I moved my family for the sake of gospel ministry? And it all started back in 1990 when I lugged my whole family to the United Kingdom, where I had my very first expression of senior ministry. And we moved around a lot on several occasions within the UK. And because the UK was intriguing because my parents are British, and so I was able to tap into dual citizenship or dual nationality. And it was so cool just to fly in there. You fly out an Australian passport, you flash your British passport, and they say, "Welcome back, sir," when you land in the UK. And so so I didn't need any special visas, I didn't need any special documents or anything like that. I could just slip straight in to the culture, I could work a job and build a church immediately. So 7 years down the road from that, I dragged everyone back to Australia and did a church plant in Mordialloc. And a few years from that, I packed everyone up and we all flew out to China. And we were missionaries in China for a couple of years. And we lived in China, mainland China, Hong Kong, and worked very closely with churches in Taiwan, Macau, Hong Kong, and on mainland China. And there was lots of travelling, lots of makeshift accommodation. We also spent some time in Toronto, Canada, before coming back again to Australia. So several moves in and around the southeast of Melbourne for different church ministries and different church expressions. And so now I'm in the beautiful city of Wyndham, ministering for Jesus. And in the last 26 years, this is the longest I've ever been in one place. So it's been fantastic. So, how many times have I moved for ministry? I can't say. It's been a lot. And I don't regret anything or anywhere that God has asked me to go. I've always been into this 100%. But not everyone in my life shared that vision or sentiment. Not everyone saw the hand of God or believed that He was involved in the vision of my ministry. In-laws and outlaws, family members, friends were asking, "What are you doing? You have absolutely lost your mind. You've moved your children 3 times in the last 14 months. You've pulled your kids in and out of schools. You've moved them from community to community. You're not getting settled and you're insane. Do we need to call up a shrink, you know?" The big question was, why are you doing this? And our answer was always, we're doing it because of a biblical mission, a biblical mandate. Jesus says, and we looked at this before, Matthew 28 verse 9, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So, time is short, and for me, this is what really matters. Now, if you're new here to New Start Church, our mission statement is based on Jesus' words. I'm going to put it up on the screen. It says, "To guide those far from God into the new start found in Jesus Christ." Let's say that together. To guide those far from God into the new start found in Jesus Christ. So my constant moving from one church expression to another was to do everything short of sinning tonight to see people come to Jesus. For the mission of seeing people let go of their fears and finally be generous in their finances for the very first time, and to actually give to God with expectancy out of their whole life. I've given my life and my family's resources to the mission of seeing lives change, to the mission of seeing marriages put back together, to the mission of seeing people walk away from addictions and habits that are destructive, to see people give their lives to Jesus. Giselle, Tim and I have given our lives to mission. So here's my question for you all. Will you follow us in that? Will you follow our example? Will you give your life to the mission? Every one of you in this room, will you give everything? Because Jesus did. He asks us to do the same thing. Now, let's look at our foundational text, and I hope it disturbs you this afternoon. I hope it unsettles you. Jesus is hanging out with a group of people, and some of his disciples were there. Mark chapter 8, let's start in verse 34. It says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.'" These are very heavy words. Very heavy words. Let me read you the same scripture from another translation. I think it's the Voice translation. It says, "If any one of you want to follow me, you will have to give yourself up to God's plan. Take your cross and do as I do. For any one of you who want to be rescued, saved, will lose your life. But any one of you who want to lose your life for my sake and for the sake of this good news will be liberated." These are heavy words, and that's why I've used the title of my sermon, "Give Yourself Up to God's Plan," because it comes out of the sentiment of Mark chapter 8. With just one brief look at the scripture, and you're going to find out that hanging on a cross was the preferred form of criminal execution. What the ruling Roman government or the ruling Roman government authorities would do is that they would actually put the crossbeam on the criminal's back, and they would make that criminal walk step by step through the community so that everyone would see him, everyone would laugh at him, everyone would spit upon him. So here's the big idea. If we really cut through this verse tonight, what we see is Jesus is asking us to do the same thing. He's asking us to deny ourselves and take his cross into our community. To take Christ into our community. To take Christ into our work. To take Christ into our homes. To take Christ into the boardrooms, into the offices. If you're single and dating tonight, you need to take Jesus on your dates. That will solve 95% of the problems right there, wouldn't it? To take Christ into our living rooms, to the music, into the music that we listen to, into the television that we watch. It's not about being a partial follower of Jesus. My prayer is that we would take Christ with us into every single situation, into every single conversation, into every single place that we go. Just living tonight one life. Now, I don't care how spiritual you think you are or how spiritual you say you are. This is a huge sacrifice tonight to follow and cut through this scripture and to be what Jesus is asking us to be is a huge deal. What Jesus is asking for is massive. It's a big deal. So let me show you something that is possible and a reality. There's a church mentioned in the book of Acts. It was one of the very first churches that ever started, and these people, they raised the bar. They said, "We're going to be fully devoted followers of Christ. We're going to be obedient, even when it's uncomfortable. And we're going to be followers of Jesus whenever He asks us, or wherever He asks us to go." And I want to show you that how God came alive in this church and in the lives of the people. And more importantly, I want you to imagine that we are that group of people also. God moves in our midst just as He did, and He will move in our midst, just as He did in Acts chapter 2. The scripture says, the followers of Jesus, the church, the people like us, ordinary people, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In this church there was expectation. They had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. One church service every 3 weeks was not enough for these guys. They broke bread together in their homes. They ate together. They had glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This was a church that didn't slumber tonight. They went beyond partial commitment. They went beyond their own comfortable lifestyles. And they said, God, use us. And we will do whatever you ask us to do. Acts chapter 2 is a testimony to that early church. And it shows how God used that church to absolutely change and transform their community. I want to introduce you to another church. It's called New Start Church. And for whatever reason, God's blessed it, and it's on the cusp of having a real impact in this community. We are on the cusp of being used by God to transform and change lives and to change communities for eternity tonight. We are on the cusp. We are at the tipping point of seeing God move in a real and a powerful way. Many years ago, several of us were in my lounge room and we were kicking around the idea, could this thing called church really work? Because all of our collective experience indicated that the model of church that we had been exposed to was inadequate in fulfilling the mission of Jesus on planet Earth. A model that dictated your behavior, your social standing, what you have become or what you were becoming was and is the primary trait that facilitated your acceptance into church community. And there are self-appointed gatekeepers that police who's in and who's out. That was what that church model dictated. The second tier is your belief system, and it is expressed with sayings like, oh, we don't do it that way around here. Or, we only do it that way here. And to cut a long story short, you don't really belong until you conform to the church's norms. In other words, conformance determines acceptance. That's what the church model dictates. This happens in schools, this happens on the job, this happens in sports teams, it happens in clubs, and sadly it happens in churches. People are in or they're out. In the gospel, or in the gospels, time and time again, we see Jesus' number one emotional response in concerns, is in concern. His number one emotional response is kindness and compassion. We see the same in the Acts 2 church engagement as well. So in my lounge room, we came up with this whole idea of the three B's of Christianity. Some of you have heard about the three B's. You could read it on our webpage. But let me expound on it in a sermon, because it comes across a lot easier. We turned around that religious gatekeeper creed, behave, believe, and you can belong, and we came up with as our New Start vision, we tried to turn that whole thing around so we could try to filter anything that we do as a church through the whole thing tipped on its head. So instead of behave, believe, belong, we said, let's go belong, believe, behave. And we got this idea from the writings of a guy called Howard Stone. He says, pastoral care is a task of the total Christian community. A task of ministering to each other and reaching out beyond ourselves. I thought, what a perfect and fertile discussion for something around the three B's of Christianity. What a challenge, taking the role of pastoral care beyond normal lines into community formation. So the three B's of Christianity is the vision, it's the lens that what we filter everything through as a church. So as I said earlier, we're on the cusp. We're at the tipping point of seeing God move in a real and powerful way. He is moving in real and powerful ways, but we're really on the tipping point of filling this room to overflowing and the next room to overflowing. So I believe the vision we have for our church tonight is authorized by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean for those who call New Start home? How do we participate in the vision that God is using to reach the people of Wyndham Vale? So let's have a look at three ways everyone can participate in the vision of New Start Church, the three B's of Christianity. So the number one way we can participate, we can have a vision for a church where everyone belongs. Everyone belongs because community is natural and community is liberating. My sermons, my influence, my ability should imitate and manifest the notion of Jesus and his belief in community tonight. And can I say that your influence and your abilities and your engagement should imitate and manifest Jesus' notion of community. Everybody belongs, everybody is welcome. Revelations chapter 22 verse 17 says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Jesus literally stands before us as a church, as individuals, and the whole community of Wyndham and says, "You belong, come." Whatever hurt you have, whatever pain you have, it doesn't matter what you are going through in life, you are welcome and you belong at New Start Church. If your life is good, if your life is bad, or if your life is messed up, we love you and you belong and you are welcome. You are welcome with your doubts, you're welcome with your questions, you're welcome with your fears, you're welcome with your poor decisions, you're welcome with your pain, you're welcome with your hurt and with your addictions. Even your agnosticism, you are welcome and you belong. We even let Collingwood fans in here. You belong and we will help you through all your issues, yeah? Because you belong. You are welcome with your clothes, but we have just one dress code. Please do. Here's how you can participate in God's vision. I need each and every person here to welcome people. I need you to welcome people in your community. I need you to welcome people and let them know that they belong. That might be your friends, that might be your family, people that you don't know, but even people that don't know Jesus, people that don't have a church home, it might be people that are hurting. I need you to welcome them. I need you to bring them next Sunday and the Sunday after and the Sunday after that. Our vision for New Start is for a church where everybody belongs. We will welcome people, we will bring them in, and we will see God move. We will see God work, we will see God absolutely change and transform this community. And I'm asking everyone here to participate in the vision that God has called us to. So, number one, we have a vision for a church where everybody belongs. Number two, if everybody belongs, then everybody's needed. We also have a vision for a church where everybody is needed, because you belong to the community that God is forming. It's that community obligation to help you with your beliefs, to help you understand where God is taking you and what God requires in your life. And the number one thing everyone needs to believe and trust is that you are needed. First Corinthians, chapter 12 says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. God has given you and I all the gifts and all the talents that are to be used to serve Him and to live in change, to see change. God has given you a talent, and if you are not using it, there are things in this church that are not getting done. If God has given you a talent and you're not using it, there are things in this church that are not getting done because you are not stepping up to the plate and using that God-given talent, that God-given gift, and because He wants you to use that in the context of the local church. And these things that God has given you tonight are not getting done because you are not using your gifts. So every single act of kindness, every single kind word spoken, it all makes a difference. Every visitor that is greeted, every handshake, it all makes a difference. Every time you step out of your comfort zone and make someone else more important than you, it all makes a difference tonight. Use your gift, use your talent. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So when God looks at New Start Church, He sees it like a body, the scripture says. He sees a family. And in a family, some people are heads, and some people are hands, and some people are feet, and some people are knees. So here's the big idea. And I want you to know this, and we need you. We need you. I need you. We need you. New Start Church is on the cusp of having a real breakthrough in our community. It's unreal what God is doing, particularly in our food bank ministry and some other areas. And God has given each one of us gifts. So we all make up a part of the body. And I need you, you need me. Everyone needs each other. So before you leave this building tonight, I want you to make a commitment to God that you would say, God, I'm going to serve, I'm going to use the gift that you have given me, and I'm going to make a difference in the kingdom. What will that commitment look like? I don't know. I don't know. It might look like, God, I'm going to commit to release more finances to make a difference for the kingdom. God, I'm going to commit to coming early to set up. God, I'm going to commit to staying back after the service to help pack up. It might be as simple as, God, I'm going to commit to being more regular in my Sunday attendance so I can learn more from the preaching and be a better follower of Jesus. It might be, God, I'm going to commit to bring some food to share after the service and do my part in developing community. It might be, God, I'm going to commit to being a giver and not always being a taker. It might be, God, I'm going to commit to pray, to see God move the tipping point in this community. So why am I asking you to make a commitment to God? Because we will be a church with a vision that sees every person is needed. Number one, if everyone belongs and is welcome. Number two, if everyone believes they are needed and makes a commitment to God to use their talents and their gifts, then the third part of the vision is a no-brainer tonight. Number three, we have a vision for a church where everyone is changed. A church where everyone can become the person that God has called them to be. Romans chapter 10, 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. 2 Corinthians 3 says, but we all with veiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we have a vision for a church where everyone is being changed from glory to glory. A church where we will not stagnate, but a church where we will be stretched. A church where we will be challenged to to become the person that God is calling us to be. So when we come in on a Sunday, we will enter with our baggage. Some of us do, some of us enter with our pain. You have your own stories, you have your own hurts, you have your own addictions, your own secrets. But what these verses say is that when you come in here, you can come as you are. But if you truly call on the name of the Lord, you will leave this place changed and different and new, and you will have a new start. That's what it's all about. It's leaving here different to when you came in. And my commitment to this vision is to always present to you a message that challenges you to become all that God has called you to become. I commit to bringing you sermons that make you ask more questions than give you answers, okay? It's better to have more questions than have all the answers. That everything that we do as a church will move us in our call, being transformed from glory to glory and becoming that person that God has called us to be. We have a vision for a church where everyone is changed. When you come into the presence of God, when you truly come into the presence of God, you can't help but be changed. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 6 says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will be changed into a different person." The vision is that everyone in this room will be changed and become everything God would have us to be. Can I just say there are future ministries that will be birthed, that will come out of this room. There are future leaders that will be acknowledged and endorsed that will come out of this room. There are seeds that are yet to come of church plants that will come out of this room. And this vision is not just for three of you. This vision is not just for 10 of you, but for every single one of us. When we connect with God, when we pray, when we make a commitment to say, "God, I no longer want to be a partially devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever you ask. I'll do whatever you say. I will give myself up to God's plan." Can the worship team come up at this time? When we commit to this kind of vision as a church, the power of God's Spirit is going to come upon us. It's going to come upon us. And I promise you, lives are going to be changed. We will see we're seeing a little bit of a taste of that already. This entire neighborhood will be transformed, will be changed, and we will never be the same again. And here's the exciting thing. God wants to use us to do that. God has entrusted us with His vision. And I'm telling you right now, New Start will be a church that welcomes people. Everyone belongs. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done. We'll be a place where everybody's needed. If you say, "Sorry, I'm too busy," or "I just don't have the time," then maybe you need to find somewhere else that's different then. Because we need everyone to be a part of what God's doing. And finally, we will be a place where everybody's changed. Where we will become the people that God has called us to be. Because when you come under the power of God, you can't help but be transformed. You can't help but be changed. So belong, celebration of community is vital tonight, and everyone must be welcome. Believe, we have to believe that everybody is needed. It's vital that everybody is engaged and become. Unless we come under the power of God, we will not be transformed and we will not be changed. It's vital that we all connect tonight with the things of God. So here's my question for you again, and I'll end with this. And I pray that it haunts you and keeps you up all night long. Here's my question. Will you give your life to the mission? Because Jesus says, if any one of you wants to follow me, you will have to give yourself up to God's plan. Take your cross and do as I do. For anyone of you who wants to be rescued will lose your life. But anyone who wants to lose your life for the sake and for my sake and for the sake of the good news will be liberated. So will you give yourself up to God's plan tonight? Will you give your life to the mission? We are on the cusp of having real impact in our community. We are on a tipping point. Where will we all be in 10 years' time? That will be determined tonight. Will you give yourself up to God's plan tonight? Amen.